Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
West Side. Hour number two here on a Tuesday morning, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. NFL No Huddle just a couple of minutes away from right now. Got some Falcons-related numbers from the first 2 weeks that certainly make us happy. Obviously, yeah. The win on Sunday night is the most important thing, but some of the details also pretty encouraging. We'll get to a college football corner in about 15 minutes as well. Try to react to as much of the stuff that happened on Saturday as possible, because there's just so much, and you could only do so much on Monday. So we'll get into as much of the details as we can, and then start turning the page this Saturday, where there's some really fun matchups as well. And then we'll get to the back page with Bo at 12:40.
Real quick, got to give an always shout out to my main man Dan over at Chattanooga Whiskey. Brought us some whiskey this morning. Dropped it off with my man John Parler. So obviously, I had to share with my boys. So we'll cheers up. But appreciate you, Dan.
Many thank yous.
And the people
yes, up thank
and,
you.
And the
thank
folks
you,
over at Chattanooga Whiskey.
And thank you to you.
Oh, no problem.
Because they gave you the box.
Well, no, Dan, I'll take care of him. Like, he came to my house one time.
Well, I know, you're the guy.
Yeah, he came
you're,
to my
guy. You're the Chattanooga Whiskey guy.
Came to the house. I was like, give me your address. What the hell you want? I don't know you like that to come to my house. Came my dad with two boxes full of liquor. I was like, yeah, you always with my friend.
That's great.
You always going to be my friend.
Nothing like a box of liquor in the morning.
Nothing.
You know? Because that's a six-pack of Chattanooga whiskey bottles.
Yes.
I mean, that's the kind of six-pack you really want to get on a Tuesday.
It's always
morning. Funny
when you walk out of here. and people are looking at me like, what? What are you looking at?
Yeah, I got a bunch of whiskey. So what?
So what's your problem?
I'm not pounding it right now in the middle of Colony Square.
It never fails, though. Yeah. Whenever I get on the elevator with a box, it's always somebody from another floor that gets on the elevator and looks at me.
It's got to be open container down there now, right?
I mean, so much stuff going on down here at Colony Square.
You walk around and just have a bottle of whiskey.
I mean, I always speak to all the security people.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So
you're good.
I'm good. One of them, a big dog fan. Loves the dog. Always, every time he sees me, go dogs.
That's one of my favorite things about Savannah, by the way, just about the weekend there. It's open container. Just walk around with a beer or a drink the whole time.
So how much time y'all spend on River Street?
A little bit.
A little bit.
I don't know what the streets are called.
That's the only damn street I know in Savannah.
The first bar we went to when we first got there was there, and we caught the end of the first half of the Georgia game there. And then there was some very – and we were going to leave anyway. But there was a couple real annoying Tennessee fans. Uh-huh. So it was like, all right, this is making the decision easier to go someplace else. So we walked to a different bar, and I don't know, you know, probably came back to River Street at some point. Who knows?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Knowing how that game ends, knowing how that game went, do you kind of, a little part of you wish you had been there to see those fans?
No, because they weren't annoying like that. Like, they weren't the annoying fans that you want to see fail. They didn't know anything about it, but they were loud anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I was happy where we ended up.
Okay.
It's just, you know.
Most important.
Try not to cause a scene, you know?
Always.
Don't be that person. Don't be those people in this case. All right, let's get to an NFL No Huddle. NFL No Huddle every single day to kick off the noon hour. Let's start with what Raheem Morris had to say about the status of their new kicker.
You know, there is about a 90% chance that Romo's our kicker for next week. You know, like, there's no doubt about that. I wouldn't even sit here act like it's an open competition, because the guy just went 5-for-5. You want to see it again. You want to see it in a different atmosphere. You want to go see those things. And, like, he did a heck of a job. And I want him to go out there and do it again. And let's go see it. We'll make some decisions on those things as the week goes. It could be this week. It could be next. It could be whatever. But we'll make those decisions as we kind of got to go.
Yeah. I mean, the reality of it is they don't have to make a choice for a couple more weeks, because you can elevate a guy from the practice squad three times before you have to designate him officially to the 53 or whatever it is, whatever the rules are for that. So they have a couple more weeks to play with that. I mean, I mean, I guess there's no guarantee anybody could get hurt at any time. So there's no guarantee.
But he's going to Charlotte to kick outside. The big difference between kicking in a control environment and kicking it outside.
That's true.
It really is.
Maybe he's an indoor guy.
I don't know. But we need him to be
all-weather.
All-weather.
Yeah.
Make him, when they count, and need it guy.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what we need.
That's right.
Hell yeah. I mean, I can't even think it off the top of my right now. Like, when Mike Conte was talking about the kickers, where were those kicks at? Was there outside? Were they inside? I know the one in Dallas was indoors.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's always something.
Well, especially this time of year.
Yes.
It's still pretty warm and pretty dry
exactly.
at most of these games. So even if you're outside, depending on the city, it might be easier.
Yes.
Actually, if it's like 90 degrees, the air is going to go a little better. But yeah, you're right. The controlled environment versus outside. Obviously, it will be outside in Charlotte. He's going to be the kicker unless something crazy happens between now and Sunday. And if he does what he did again, in terms of not missing, then he'll be the kicker for the remainder of the season. I think we all hope that that happens. You and I both saw the same number about the amount of 12 personnel that the Falcons ran on Sunday.
Yes.
That means they lined up with two tight ends on the field. 55 of the 63 offensive plays that they ran, they had that going on.
Yes.
That's the highest rate in the NFL dating back to like a number of years ago.
Yes.
And it worked. So there you go.
I don't know. I just, you know, I'm always one that I just speak what I think I know. I don't know which I speak or something like that.
Well, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's something like that.
But you do know what you do know.
Exactly. And I keep saying the Falcons' best personnel grouping is 12. That's how I view it. But I mean, they had the best running game in a while.
Here's what I know.
Yes.
Here's what
because you had Charlie Warner doing what Charlie Warner does, but you had Kyle Pitts out there and you got to account for him.
Does it count as 12 personnel no matter where he lines up just because he's a tight end?
Yes.
Because he was a fullback in some of those plays.
Yeah, no.
Like, he's all over
it
the
don't
place.
Matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
Because his position listing is tight end.
Which is great. Put him on the field.
Yes.
The man can block and he helps the run game. But here's what I know, and I think this is why they didn't do it and haven't done it a ton until now, and hopefully now we see more of it. We asked Zach Robinson last year, what are you most comfortable with?
Yep.
And he flat out said, well, I don't know. I try to be comfortable with all of them, but I'm probably most comfortable with 11.
Yep.
Like, okay. Obviously, we saw it throughout the year.
Yes.
And he's had an offseason to try to get more comfortable, maybe using two of them. And they did on Sunday to great success.
Yes.
Maybe it was just a matchup thing.
It could be.
And they'll go away from it against the Panthers.
Could be.
Or maybe they found something.
Maybe. Let's see. Let's hope so. Yes. I like Charlie Warner on the field.
Let's
I do
so.
Too.
I do yeah.
Too.
He makes the team better.
Yes.
Now, you know what he's doing. They're not throwing him the ball. But that's okay.
But that's when you leak out and get you one.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can start, you know, you don't throw it to him for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you line up in a.
Do you remember, oh my God, up in Seattle? Remember the Tolololo? And they had 13 personnel. He runs down the sideline. They had 13 personnel and all seams go.
Yeah.
Stuff like that happens.
Or just the amount of like third tight ends in week one that made huge plays.
Yeah.
That catch the Bills tight end made on the goal line to win them that game in week one, that was a Georgia Tech guy.
Yes.
And I mean, and then the guy with the 49ers tight end that nobody expected to catch the ball. Yeah. No, it's, you know, hopefully they use more of that and to great success like they did on Sunday. All right, let's hear the way that the first of the two Monday Night Football games ended last night for Tampa.
Mayfield sends it back in motion. Hands the ball off Rashad White. Into the end zone. Is he in? Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Buccaneers take the lead at 20-19.
What a drive by Baker, man.
Yep.
What a drive. It just showed the highlight. I mean, they got him boxed in. And just a little shimmy shake, Andy, a little dip of the shoulder, runs right past him. He gets out, gets the first down, hits a couple of more big throws, one to Mike down there. And then what the biggest thing they did, they saved their timeouts. That's why they could run the ball in that situation.
Right, exactly.
They had timeouts. So, yeah, you run the clock's running down. Okay, let's run the ball because right now they're gassed. They're rushing to get lined up. So, just ran the ball right there. Unbelievable, just play by Baker all week. The whole game, he was good.
Yeah, and now he's built up so much confidence now in those moments with his teammates and himself. Like, that's two wins like that to start the year. Whereas last year, Baker was talking about after the game, they lost a bunch of games like that.
Yes.
Falcons game included, that we remember. So, I mean, that's such a difference maker between making the playoffs and just barely missing it is how many one-score games you can win. They're 2-0 now in those one-score games.
Yep.
They're 2-0 on the season, obviously. Let's hear a little bit from the second game as well. This was certainly one of the stories from last night from Geno Smith.
Geno, they rush four. Pressure coming, takes a shot to the end zone. Popped up in the air, intercepted for the third time. A touchback.
I think Derwin tipped it.
Derwin definitely tipped it.
And Dante Jackson comes down with it.
They can't run the ball. Talk about the Chargers. But that
kind of weird, isn't it?
That'll come around.
Yeah.
But the way that, and I take, I'm going to go back to beginning when this all, with the whole Harbaugh and then his offensive coordinator, Greg Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Roman surprised me.
Yeah.
He surprised me because he don't call like that.
No, he runs it.
He runs it.
He runs it more than anybody.
But you got this guy, and I'll never forget you asking this question before the season about Quentin Johnston. And I said, if he can catch it, they got an opportunity because he's the only one that can stretch the field.
Yeah.
And he's 3 touchdowns in 2 games, yep. And they're both big plays. Got Keenan Allen still working that intermediate. And then you got Ladd,
mm-hmm.
And you got this kid, Justin Herbert, playing with all that confidence. Jim Harbaugh team will figure out the run.
Yeah.
They'll figure out the run.
It's weird for an early season Jim Harbaugh team to be successful, and their pass game is so much – and a Greg Roman coordinated team.
Yes.
Their pass game is so much more effective than their run game is. But you're right. I mean, they've got – Amarion Hampton, they've got Najee Harris, they've got guys that can run the football.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's being able to put it on Herbert's arm and still win games helps when the defense is playing like that and comes up with 3 picks against Geno Smith.
Where's Khalil Mack at, though?
Yeah. What happened
friendly
to him?
Friendly fire. I'm sitting there watching
it. Was it a broken arm?
I don't know. Okay. I haven't seen the diagnosis or anything, but friendly fire. His teammate just hit that damn arm, and so I saw him come out with a sling. The one highlight for the Raiders, Gentry going to hurt people.
I saw that, with pass protection.
No, he had a nice pass pro, but like his first run, and the damn safety came down screaming, and he just bounced off of him. The dude is 5'6", 200 pounds of just granite. You better wake up because he's gonna put you. But yeah, Geno played like crap.
Yeah,
Brock Bowers definitely is hurt.
Yeah,
Brock Bowers definitely.
He was
is
a
hurt.
Game time decision.
Yeah, Brock Bowers definitely hurt. The way the Chiefs are playing,
Chargers look good in that division for sure. And the Broncos lost on Sunday too. Yeah. Raiders are 1-1. Hurt quarterbacks was a part of the story this weekend for sure. We mentioned Jaden Daniels earlier, MRI on his knee, questionable to play this weekend. Dan Quinn said he's like legit day to day, so we'll see. Mariota is their backup.
Yeah,
former team on Sunday against the Raiders. Former team 2 weeks from now with the Falcons. I guess when you play for a bunch of teams, you have a lot of former teams. But J.J. McCarthy is also going to miss the Vikings game.
Yeah, that play. It was on the left sideline. I think it was Caden Ellis laying on the back of his legs. That could be a good thing. Not saying him getting hurt, but him getting some time off. Carson Wentz.
Get him a breather.
Carson Wentz is going to be the starting quarterback as he's out right now.
He will be the first player in NFL history to start a game for 6 different teams in 6 consecutive years.
He was number 2 pick overall.
Was he?
Carson Wentz?
Was he?
Yeah, Carson Wentz, number 2 pick overall.
6 straight years, 6 different teams as a starter. That's crazy.
Wow. And this Tom Brady thing, which is weird, is the Saudi flag football tournament.
Oh.
All right, whatever. My players wouldn't play because I'm not getting nobody current player going over there to play flag football.
Oh, is that people are worried about players playing or are they worried about Saudi money?
Probably both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the Saudi money part.
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere. Okay. You have Starbucks this morning? You order Amazon yesterday?
Oh, yeah, I don't.
You're guilty, too.
Yeah. But,
we're all guilty.
I'm just worried about, my star players going over there. Like, Saquon and all them on there. No. You're not going to play no flag football.
All right, we'll come back, talk a little college football corner. Some more reaction to what happened on Saturday and start looking ahead to this Saturday as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's not
a midday show.
This is when I realized that DeVoe could sing or could contribute this to the group other than
maybe a dance move here or there. All right, good. You know, everybody's got to play their role. You know?
I agree, man.
Everybody's got to play
their
role.
He got the same percentage as all of them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It was split.
It's called New Edition.
Yeah.
It wasn't New Edition led by Ralph Trasvant.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope everybody got an equal cut. We'll get to the back page with Bo coming up in about 15 minutes from right now. Back into the big story of the day at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. A little bit more audio from Raheem Morris as he met with the media. And again, keep getting ready for the game coming up on Sunday. Brandon Adams is going to join us at 1:20. Always look forward to that conversation, but especially after a big win like that for Georgia, and he can put it into various historical context and stuff like that. So we'll get BA's thoughts on that. We'll get to a college football corner in a minute.
Dude, one more NFL thing, because last night, I guess Tom Brady was in the coaching booth of the Raiders.
Okay.
But he's part owner.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now, because this whole thing, remember, he couldn't go to the production meetings and all those everything.
Right.
And the thing that's come out is that the production meeting part of his role or whatever, because if the Raiders play a team that he's – you know, calling their game for they play him later, he could have some insight.
For instance,
yes,
he's calling the Bears game this weekend,
yes,
and then the Raiders play the Bears that next weekend.
Right. And so you're like, oh, well, he might have a leg up on some inside info. As a player, as a former player who was in plenty of those meetings and talked to the play-by-play guys, one guy I used to always talk about, that's why he's one of my favorites, Baldy. I used to talk to Baldy all the time. There was nothing to give. They asked you about last week's game. They asked you about this week's game, maybe a funny story, and that was it.
Yeah.
He's in a production meeting for 5 to 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's not something where he's like, so what are you guys thinking about running this week?
Even if they ask that,
you wouldn't
tell them.
Or there's an injury. I saw so-and-so got banged up last game. Like, there's just certain things that are not kind of can be used against you. Now, if the Bears are like, you can't come in here, they're every right to do so.
Right.
But I just don't think it's as big a deal as...
It certainly is not.
I don't know.
It's interesting to me...
But it's Tom Brady.
It's him.
Yep.
It's the history, obviously, from where he came from.
Yes.
It's just also one of those things that people can kind of sink their teeth into and try to be mad about on a given day.
Yeah.
That's why when you said people are mad about Tom Brady, I was like, about what? Because there's seven things people could be mad about this week as it relates to Tom Brady. And I just think this is a really good example. And obviously your perspective from being in the locker room as a player talking to broadcasters, we'll have Mark Schlereth and Dave Archer on the show tomorrow who do those broadcast meetings from a player perspective and then now as a broadcaster perspective. We'll ask them too. Like, I mean, I think people really overestimate what goes on in those conversations from an information perspective.
Yeah,
and honestly, like the broadcasters are going, obviously, like the analysts already understand what they're looking at. They're looking at film to get ready for the game. The play-by-play guy is just trying to get an anecdote.
That's
man.
It.
I want to hear, oh, this guy on the other team and you were teammates in high school and you did a talent show together.
Right.
Or, oh, this guy, oh, you know, it's my mom's birthday on Sunday and she's turning this. You know what I mean? Like they're trying to add a little detail and color to the broadcast.
But they think because it's Tom Brady and he looks you dead in your eyes, you're going to give him something because it's Tom Brady. And
I was a little surprised the NFL relaxed its policy on him and the meetings and all that with how like over paranoid everybody is about that kind of stuff.
Right. Right.
But I really do think people really overestimate what you're getting in those meetings.
Yeah. It's it's nothing serious.
Nobody's telling you like, oh, we're going to run this trick play in the third quarter.
Watch out for that first play.
Yeah.
He told me about this last night in the production meeting.
Well, and I guess sometimes every once in a while you'll hear like Kirk Herbstreit would be like, yeah, they told me they were thinking about using this. You're just not going to tell him.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're worried that Tom Brady's going to use it to the Raiders' advantage down the road, then you're going to give him less information.
Yeah,
like, that's what you're going to do.
It's pretty damn weird.
Yeah,
it's pretty damn weird.
It's just one of those things.
I will say this, because I think I've heard this before. Randy, you can probably be more specific if I'm wrong here. Don't sometimes teams have to inform the officials or referees of a certain trick play?
Yes.
So it doesn't get called because of formation, like this or that. I don't know how.
It's not necessary. It's all about the formation. And if it's like a tackle eligible here or off the ball, but like the play itself, no, you don't have to be like, we're going to run a double reverse pass here or nothing like that. But you do give them a heads up about to look for the formation, because it's mainly for the formation.
I don't. Right. If I were a referee, I wouldn't be able to like hold in my anticipation to see it.
What are they going
to do?
I know it's coming because of the formation.
When's that tackle going to report as eligible?
Yeah.
When are we going to? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only time they do it.
But you don't have to tell Tom Brady that.
You don't have to tell Tom Brady that.
You know?
No.
That's the thing.
You don't.
You can tell him whatever you want.
Yeah,
you don't have
man.
To tell him
it's
anything.
It's pretty weird,
yeah,
man. Because it's Tom Brady, though.
One of those things. Yeah. All right, let's get to a college football corner. All right, so we'll try to get to some leftover reaction from Saturday, but do want to get you some of this new audio. Obviously, Brent Key was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday after that huge win for Georgia Tech on Saturday. If you missed the interview, check it out on the website, 929thegame.com, Dukes and Bell page. Here he is talking about how he celebrates a win like that.
Press conference, ACC Network, went home and grabbed, you know, took some. I was starving. I went out in the backyard for about probably 45 minutes and, you know, did some work on my daughter's playhouse. And then called recruits, FaceTimed recruits, high school coaches. You know, had some football on, didn't really watch a complete game by any means. I mean, I was on our game. And then about probably 10 o'clock, 10:30, right. I sat down and pulled our game up and started watching it.
I heard the whole interview because I was dropping off. I was picking up Samson from school, and so it was on. And so, I mean, great interview, great job by the boys. But, I mean, he's not surprised that they won this game, meaning, you know, they went into the intentions of beating the hell out of Clemson. I saw a clip of him coming out the tunnel with his team. He did some kind of little jig, like, before the game. So, I mean, the confidence that he had. I love what he saw about Haynes King. Talking about more people are worried about Haynes King than he is, pretty much. But yeah, I mean, you know, big win. You still a daddy first.
Yeah, you still got to.
You still
stuff.
A dad. I like the follow up question. Like Carl was like, "You mean tell me that's all you did? Like you ain't gonna get you no bourbon or no whiskey or nothing?" Well, all right, there we go. That's
yeah,
all there.
You might have a pour or two.
Yeah, a couple drinks.
You got to enjoy it a little.
You gotta
bit.
Have you a couple drinks?
I do like that though. Look, man, I bought her a playhouse.
Don't forget.
You got to build it.
They don't forget. They don't give a damn.
He doesn't care that we beat Clemson.
You don't give a damn about that, Daddy. Where is my playhouse?
Yeah, get that
and when
together.
Is it gonna be done?
We found out that they tear down the goalpost and throw it into the swimming pool of the school president.
Oh, really?
So that's pretty cool because there's no river, right?
There's no river,
body of water
right.
to throw
something. Chattahoochee's polluted enough.
Oh, and it's far.
And like, it's far. That's what I was like. Where the hell are they going to dump this damn
water?
I understand school spirit. That's a long-ass damn walk.
Yeah, you'd give up at some point over there.
That baby's sitting on 285 somewhere.
Yeah, all right.
We're thinking that since this is a school full of engineers, they would have figured out a way to get it on the MARTA.
Oh, okay.
Possibly.
Or some sort of contraption to sort of wheel it over to the wall. Yeah, but no, they dump it in the swimming pool of the team president, which, all right. How are you going to get it out of there? All right, here's Kirby using a phrase that I was unfamiliar with. So at the very least, we learned a new phrase. But I think he's also talking about people not wanting to own their mistakes? Okay.
Well, I think we know who we are. You know, I mean, and I don't mean this directed at Tennessee, but I told our players, I was like, there's a lot of whistling by the graveyard. You know, a lot of people don't know what that saying means, but there's a lot of whistling by the graveyard, and that ain't who we are. So I'm not saying, I don't think Tennessee is. They're physical and they're tough, but there's a lot of outside whistling by the graveyard. A little bit of acting like thing, but we feel like our team is a certain identity, and we're not going to go down without a fight. We're nowhere near where we need to be. We're a long way from being there. But, boy, we got some kids that aren't afraid to fight.
Okay. So, whistling by the graveyard, pretend to be calm and unafraid when actually feeling nervous or fearful. He's not saying that they were. I don't know who he's talking about. But
all right.
Anyway, yeah, they know who they are.
Yes.
And he's right. They do have a lot to clean up. It's nice to know coming out of a win, okay, this is what we got to do on defense.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we have to do here.
Right.
Obviously, there's some stuff on offense they want to work on too. But we learned a lot about Georgia on Saturday.
Yeah, I think the biggest – I mean, I didn't learn as far as like them coming back and winning the game. Like, that's what they do. They're going to make it close. You're not just going to blow. I can say that we just got physically our ass whooped with Ole Miss last year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find a way to get back in the game. If they just, the biggest thing with Tennessee in that offense, you had to get a stop. And Tennessee was clicking. You couldn't get a stop. When Georgia started getting stops, they were able to do some things on offense.
Any Kirby Smart team is going to be in the fight till the end.
Yes.
Like, they're in it for 60 plus because it was overtime.
Yes.
Like, they're not giving up. We've seen it time and time again with the comebacks that they've had and found ways to win. We learned a lot about Gunnar Stockton.
Yes, I think that's the biggest thing. We learned more about Gunnar. I learned more about these receivers and his ability and Bobo to his ability to let him throw the ball down the field. He had some nice throws. I know
really
the one, you know, the one to 16 was the one, but I mean, he had another one to him Then, I mean, you saw Kobe getting involved. Obviously, Zachariah with the big play, but he had another nice catch.
When he let it rip over the middle on some third and fourth downs
go.
A couple times.
Let it go, man. So, I learned a lot about the fact is that, you know, he's a damn good player, man. Gunnar Stott's a damn good player. And, you know, we're just going to have to continue to do different things. But, like, defensively, I'm not worried about the defense. I'm not worried about it. Alabama's going to come in here. We've got another week to talk about him. They're coming off their best offensive performance.
Yeah.
Quarterback was outstanding. Yep. Outstanding. And then the receiver, don't let him get started.
Yeah. People know about Ryan Williams now, hopefully.
Hell yeah, we do.
Yeah, pay attention to that guy.
Hell yeah, we do, man. Hey, guys, this Saturday from noon to 2, join Allie Mack at Suns Kia in McDonough as they get you ready for Sunday's big games. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV of the Rolling Stand and other prizes. Plus, winners take home – I mean, have a chance to take home home tickets as to the upcoming game. Again, that's Saturday from noon to 2 at Suns Kia in McDonough with Allie Mack. And Come Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back and get to the back page with Bo after this. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The game.
So what's that scenario? Here we go.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. 20 minutes away from the big story of the day. We'll get back into some of what Raheem Morris had to say coming out of the nice win over the Vikings on Sunday night. Brandon Adams is going to join us at 1:20 to talk some Georgia football and college and SEC football in general. We'll get to an AMA an hour from right now.
Oh, man. We're getting some news out of Carolina. They're giving Xavier Leggett the vote of confidence. We have all the confidence in the world in him, says his coach. Damn.
You know what that means.
Yep.
Big Sunday
big
loading.
Big Sunday
Here it comes.
And he kind of, I just figured my teammates and my coach that gave me all the confidence in the world to go out there and do that.
Because that's the thing. As soon as he has a great game,
yeah, man.
Microphones are going to be all over the place. he's going to describe it in some unusual way.
Mythical way.
Yeah. And you're going to see it everywhere.
Yes.
See? So we're not out of the woods yet.
No.
One win doesn't change all that. You still fear the worst every single time you go into one of these. And hopefully the Falcons defense can make the Panthers offense look the way that they have in the first couple weeks of this season. But that always makes me weird.
Yeah,
too.
Man.
I'm like, oh, great. So they're due then. Yeah. You know,
it seems like, but no, they are. They should not lose this game to Carolina. Nope. They should not. They should not. I know they play bad up there, whatever. They should not lose this game. But, yep. I mean, they played – I was just looking back at their last game against Arizona. Like, they played – well, if you look at how Bryce played, they threw him off 55 times. And that's not something you want him back there doing. And lost by only 5 points, but then go back, how good is Arizona? I don't know.
Arizona's been a mystery to me every year for the last – every year Kyler's healthy.
Yeah.
It's like they could beat anybody if he has a great game,
but,
or they could also lose to anybody at any time. And then they always have really good defensive players that you forget are there.
Right.
And then you find out about them when they get hurt.
Like damn.
It seems like it's always
happens. Oh, he's there. Like Clance Campbell there.
Right.
I think he closed the game out with a sack.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Calais closed the game out with a sack.
When Calais Campbell signed here and got his 100th sack,
he was there.
It was like, okay, you know, awesome to have him on the team. Big milestone. Now he rides off into the sunset. That's 2 years ago. Now.
Yes.
He's played on a couple teams since then.
It's crazy. Yes. Yeah, man.
All right. Let's get to the back page with Bo. Every day, 12:45, the back page with Bo. Hello, Bo.
Shout out to Do Your Homework as we The fantasy draft, fantasy league team, Coca-Cola Fantasy Falcons, that Andy and I are in with Josh and AJ after a pretty crappy week one loss. We battle back in week two. We are the number one point scorers in the league.
Look at that.
16-team league.
Putting the league on
Nobody
notice.
Scored more than 142 points this year or this week.
Except us.
So, yeah, man, great contributions by Lamar with 33 points, CMC with 20, Rome with 30, and Spencer Schrader, the kicker who we picked up after Youngway Koo, was not dismissed. But
oh, did we have Youngway Koo on our team?
We drafted him, yeah. Oh.
Damn.
Yeah. That was the last pick of the
– Forgot about that.
Damn.
Hey, man, it's all good. Spencer Schrader.
It's all good.
Like 20 points in week one, Colts rookie kicker.
Wow.
Which is crazy that you just can't make a 44-yard field goal. Come on, man. He gets 18 this week. So, yeah. There we go.
That's nice the other upgrade. Crazy thing about kickers in the NFL, right? Because, like, you know, everybody's favorite college team or rival or whatever has had a really good kicker over the last handful of years, and then you never hear from him again. And then all these best kickers in the league, like Brandon Aubrey, didn't even play college football.
No.
He played soccer.
Yes.
And then he was like, oh, I think I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's the best kicker we've ever seen.
His wife was like, hey, you can miss a kick. Like, that guy just missed a kick.
It's outrageous.
And then he's like, yeah, let's go give it a shot.
Yeah, man. He hit a 64-yard game-tying field goal to send it to overtime, and that wasn't even his career long.
No, dude got a leg.
What is the record now? Is it 66 right now? Because it was 63
forever.
Remember Jason Elam, and there was one Dempsey maybe before that?
Dempsey had it.
And then Elam broke it. And then it was the record still for a long time.
Was it Zuerlein?
Might have been 66. Zuerlein. And it is 66. Who is it that did that?
Was it Justin Tucker in 21?
Justin Tucker, okay. Somebody's going to hit a 70-yard field goal.
Yeah,
one of these days.
Yeah, man.
These guys' legs are—they're crazy.
Especially when you talk about where we're just talking about the control climate and all that things.
Exactly.
Yes. Remember, we saw the one in preseason, right?
Oh yeah. That's right. Little or something like that from Jacksonville.
Right?
Yeah, hit a 70-yarder in a preseason game.
So while we're on the subject of kickers, and this was done intentionally. Now we did have some history last night. But let's face it, we're all just children here on this show, and I couldn't go without mentioning this guy's name in any given opportunity.
So here we go, Dicker. After this kick will be the most accurate kicker in NFL history. It is a 38-yarder from the right hash. And this kick is right down the middle and good. And with that, Cameron Dicker now has made 94 of his 100 kicks in his NFL career.
That's a hell of a streak, man.
That really is pretty good.
That is a hell of a...
The amount of fantasy football team names that you can think of with this guy on your team is amazing.
But what
I pick him on as many teams as
that
I
can. But that 97 of what? 94 out of 100?
94 out of 100.
That's pretty incredible.
That's pretty damn good.
Because I remember Youngway was like 89% through his first couple seasons, and it was one of the best in NFL history. So that's obviously 94.
I think, didn't he, for a week, break Justin Tucker's accuracy.
Tucker made like two the next week.
And
what is the best fantasy football team name involving his name that you have?
Well, there's Big Energy, obviously. Okay, yeah, you know, sure. You could take his last name, put down behind it, and it just is funny. You know,
Hardly Knower. That works with my last name too.
It does.
Bunker. Yeah. Hardly Knower.
It's crazy how it is the guy's last name, and I still just feel weird about saying it on the radio.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Cameron Dicker. You're allowed to say it. It's his last name.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say the fantasy football team names, though. They just sound too much
like... Yeah, you probably made a good choice on that.
So, y'all, we're talking about Tom Brady's little fantasy football league. So, the Fanatics Flag Football Classic happening March 21st of 2026, so next spring. So, y'all were saying how you didn't think that there would be lash out or brush back if there were some NFL players. There are NFL players listed to be participating. Saquon, CeeDee Lamb, Myles Garrett, Sauce, CMC, Max Crosby. There will be three teams in this tournament coached by Kyle Shanahan, Pete Carroll, and Sean Payton.
Oh, I didn't realize NFL coaches were involved,
And Tom Brady is supposedly playing in this
flag football tournament.
He can't let
it go.
You think Tom Brady is trying to compete in 2028?
No.
Flag football in the Olympics?
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe.
Or this tournament, maybe.
I didn't realize
that. No, but he wouldn't be a good flag football quarterback. They want him to be able to.
Yeah. They do need to be able to run around.
They're going to straight snatch his flag.
Yeah.
His old ass.
Yeah, that's wild. So they're – okay.
Yeah, whatever, man. I didn't realize that there were NFL coaches in it too. I thought it was just players.
Those guys must be getting so much
money. I'm talking about
to be a part of this
They're probably getting their salary.
Like
For
like,
one game.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
I'll bet, yeah.
Right.
Seeing as how it's taking place on Riyadh season.
Yes. Which
is the big celebration.
Yes.
Yep.
So, speaking of celebrations.
Get used to it. They're going to have all the sports before it's over.
LSU celebrated Saturday after beating Florida. I'm sure you all heard the rant that Brian Kelly went on when asked the wrong questions by a reporter in Baton Rouge. So, I almost was mad that he walked this back. Like, look, I kind of agree with what he was trying to say, just not how he said it, you know? Because they did just win the game by 10, and it did look like they were managing the game to win it. So, here's his apology.
Before I get to the game in Southeast Louisiana, I want to go back to the press conference after the game. I've texted with Mike and offered my apology to him for the way I handled the questioning.
Yeah.
I think it's important to
Mike's
understand that my standards relative to how we work with the media on a day-to-day basis need to be higher.
Coach Kelly apologized to me. My story at 6.
Man. Or, yeah, right, exactly.
My apology.
My column. There's no way in the hell that he ain't write some column or something.
Oh, this is content for him for
hey,
sure.
Hey, man. We apologize too much.
It's a lot of apologies.
A lot of apologies now.
Yeah.
A lot of apologies.
Like,
we know who you are.
You meant what you said.
He did.
So deal with it.
He did.
Yeah. They're not going to fire you.
Now, I don't know what the relationship is, obviously, between the reporter and the coach. It seems like there has to be some animosity between two of them, because I went and listened to it.
Yeah.
All he asked him was, I don't even remember.
With the offense.
No, he didn't even say struggle.
Started.
He did not say that. He said
something about the run game.
He said, tell us about your offense or something like that.
Yeah, you mean tell us about my offense?
Right.
Mike, you watched the game, didn't you?
Right.
But he did say what's wrong with the offense or something that alluded to something.
The only part I heard was it was pretty bare bones. Like, you know.
Too many damn apologies, man.
He alluded to a problem.
Did he? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, speaking of problems, I don't know why a Memphis head coach would choose to be taking just random shots at Kirby Smart in the Georgia football program. Seeing as how they don't even play each other this season, because Abe just found this one on the internet.
That's probably
about
why.
10 minutes ago.
Exactly why.
Well, but I was thinking maybe this is something you say the week leading up to a game, because you're going to be asked about it. You know you're going in there to get your ass kicked anyway. So here's Ryan Silverfield on his podcast this morning.
We do this all the time, but generally on a Sunday afternoon when we meet with the team, we do two things, and we always start off with not our standard. We always start with a negative. And the not our standard is Georgia wide receiver, right, arrested for driving 900 miles per hour over the speed limit, right? That's a weekly occurrence. So that's one of those, like, we'll show.
Who is this?
The head coach of the Memphis football.
That's
Ryan
the head
Silverfield.
Coach?
That's
oh, wow.
On his own podcast.
Wow.
So he starts off his team with a negative and a positive. The negative just happens to be about Georgia speeding tickets.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Well, I was wondering what he was going to say about the football team, because that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to criticize them, there have been a lot of guys getting in trouble for speeding.
Damn sure has.
Yeah.
But, has a head coach of a team say that about
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Kind of weird. But his name is Satisfied?
Silverfield.
Yeah, him too.
So the Masters has found another new home. So now Thursday and Friday broadcast from 1 o'clock to 3 p.m. will be now on Amazon Prime.
Really?
So you're going to have Amazon Prime for parts, Paramount Plus for parts, CBS for parts, and ESPN for parts. Talk about having a dance all around the streaming
world.
That's what
I was like, this thing going to be split up all over the damn place.
Just like everything else is about to be.
Yeah.
Five different homes for the Masters now.
But
throughout the weekend.
If it gets us to the point where we can watch all the golf, because it was so frustrating for years that, like, you couldn't watch. And then the Masters app finally gave you access to a lot of it. But, like, you know, I want to watch Tiger play 72 holes. Back in the day, like obviously now he's not playing, but you know what I mean.
I got a question for you, real quick. Do you have your Tiger app, right?
Tiger app?
I thought you like when you track where Tiger's going.
Oh, I follow people on social media that are like Tiger trackers.
Okay,
or whatever.
Yeah. I thought you don't have one though, right?
I don't have what?
The Tiger tracker.
You don't have your own plane tracker.
Well, there's a guy who I follow on Twitter whose Twitter handle is Tiger Tracker.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime Tiger does something, he'll tweet.
Oh, okay. I thought it was an actual like.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I mean, but there's nothing to track.
Yeah, like, no, that's why I was asking. I was like,
sure. still
and when you said Tiger, I was like, damn, is Tiger? Where's
well,
no, he at?
But that's what it was frustrating like 15 years ago
right.
when you wanted to watch him play and you had to wait till the coverage started at 1 o'clock and then you got like 3 hours. It was like, well, he's done. I wanted to watch him play this morning. Now at least you get to watch the majority of the golf, but yeah, you have to have four different apps.
They're taking a big slice of the during the day part that's really never on any channel. So.
I know. Yeah. I know. The Masters is, they can do whatever they want.
Yep.
And they continue to do so.
I think the biggest thing for me, I think it was 2 years ago, was when I was watching the Masters. And then, like, when you go to ESPN Plus, they show you different groups, which that was a cool.
That's fun.
That was fun right there. I like that part.
Is awesome.
I like that part.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And they're getting, I think now you can pretty much watch everything. You just have to do it on four different places now. Because most of these tournaments, like, you know, like PGA Championship, US Open, whatever, first guy tees off, it's on. And then they're on until the last guy tees off. Masters, like, oh, we don't do it like that.
We're the Masters.
We'll put it on when we want. You guys will find it.
You'll find something to do.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.